You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last night, February the 22nd, in Kingsville, Texas, at the City Hall at 6th and Kleberg, there was a city council meeting. And one of our good people was there, and she'll be calling in. In fact, she may be on the phone right now. Is that you, Diana? Okay, you got it. Let's hear your report on the city council meeting in Kingsville, Texas.
Well, how much time do I have it?
As much as you need. You can have the whole broadcast if you need it.
Well, I'm not going to solve the world's problems tonight, but I'm pretty excited about what I found out.
Okay, go ahead. Make sure you talk good and loud.
Okay, is it loud enough?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold any surprises. I'm going to give my impressions first, very briefly. I had mixed feelings about Kingsville the entire day I was there, and I was there from about midnight Sunday night until after dark Monday. So I was there a good amount of time, and I was on the run the whole time. I think I was very glad to leave, and as I kept my gas receipt for the one, I paid cash, but I got a receipt, because I was told by a pretty upstanding citizen in Kingsville that if you make waves, you can end up with an illegal substance in your car. So I thought I'd be real careful. I drove very slowly. And the other night when you talked about Kingsville last week, I was maybe a little feeling a little bad for the town and thought maybe you were a little hard on them. For any of those people out there that might have felt that way, I think they can rest easy. You hit it on the head on the hammer as far as what I learned. In fact, you know how you say that you'll never go to Waco and spend a dime there?
That's right.
I understand that. I think we can add Kingsville. Even though I'm sure there are some good people there, probably frightened, they don't want to say anything. Well, the first stop I made on Monday, I went to the Kingsville Record Office. I was told unofficially by someone that it was owned by the King Ranch, which is a huge ranch there, and it's been there since the mid-1800s. And it's a huge tourist draw.
Yeah, my grandfather was a cowboy on the King Ranch, and my grandmother was a cook. Long, long time ago.
I spoke with Bob Odom, who is the publisher and editor, and he referred to the exercise as a, quote, non-event, unquote. Their office is directly across the street from the Exxon building, and he said they stood and watched everything from the inside of their offices, and I got the feeling from him, I'll tell you this now, I got the feeling from him like I did just about, practically everyone I spoke with. I didn't speak with more than maybe 10 or 12 people. But I got the impression that they were even surprised, and they'd even forgotten whenever I said February 8th, the events on February 8th, they had to stop and look at me because they didn't even know what I was talking about. And that made that much of an impression.
When you referred to the Exxon building, that's one of the buildings where the exercise took place.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to backtrack Island. I know where that is on the map, and I'm going to send you a map with that marked. I saw that building. But there were two buildings, you know. There was the old police station. And I'm going to backtrack on that and tell you that it was one of the two buildings.
Okay.
Because I'm confused now a bit as to where the publishing company is located, even though I do have their address. So I want to be clear on that. Okay, I asked him, I bought newspapers there, and I asked him if they had received any letters to the editor about the incident, and he said not a one. Well, I was told by someone that I thought was a nice person that they might not print them even, and I think we can all say that about our towns. We all say that. That we don't know that they would print something controversial if we did send it. Well, I'd like to give the address and of the Kingsville Record and the price so that people can mail for copies of their own.
Okay.
Okay, it's the Kingsville Record, and it's Post Office Box 951, Kingsville, Texas, 78364. The telephone number there, and this is a new area code, and if you dial this area code for information, you will get a recording that says, I can't remember what it says, but it won't give you information. You have to go back and dial 512 for information in the Kingsville area, because this is such a new area code. Okay, but the area code is actually 361. That's 361 area code. The number is 592-4304. They want $1 for their Wednesday papers, $1.50 for Sunday papers, and that includes mailing. And they only publish twice a week. Now, I'm going to give 3 dates of papers that the people might want to send for. On February the 10th, which was the first issue after the military operation there, the headline was, quote, "It was only a drill, helicopters, explosions, gunfire, men's wearing night vision goggles." Now, I haven't had a chance, I just got back late this afternoon, to read all of these articles through, so I glanced through some of them and highlighted a few things.
Okay, what date was that now?
That was February the 10th.
Okay.
And you'll get copies of these. You know?
All right.
I have these for you. On February 14th, there was not a story anywhere. It's a small paper, but there was not a story about the exercise anywhere. But interestingly enough, there was an editorial that day, and it says called Bill's Soapbox, and the headline is, "Our Money, Freedom. The Government Keeps Taking and Taking." And I just want to read a couple of sentences, like 3 sentences out of here.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this was by a man named Bill Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E. I called the Kingsville Record back today because I hadn't read this while I was there. I didn't have time. And I asked who this Mr. Prince was. And he is an editorial writer in the state of Texas who writes for about 15 papers. I don't believe I've ever read his editorials before.
Mm-hmm.
But here's just 3 sentences. "We use fake money that has no intrinsic value, which can be printed in any denomination by the Federal Reserve for 3 cents per bill." And then dropping down further, it says, "and a non-government private business, the Federal Reserve, controls it." And then here's another one. "The first thing totalitarian governments and dictators seeking total power over a country do is disarm the people." I thought that was interesting. They put this kind of stuff in the paper, which is wonderful, and then they don't seem to get alarmed about the other.
About the Ninja Turtle raid in the middle of the night.
Also, on that same day, there was a small notice about, that's from the 14th year, there was a small notice about a special county commissioner's hearing, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in just a minute, but I do want to just mention here, and I'll mention it again, that in that small notice, it was not on the front page, but they listed the agenda the 15th. But they did not mention or list in that list this number 7 on the agenda, which was to discuss an action on the Army exercise of February 8th. They didn't put that in the paper. They only listed the other typical county things that would be on the agenda.
Was that the paper's decision to omit that item on the agenda?
You know, I didn't even see that until I got home today.
I'll bet it was.
Maybe. Okay, the next issue that they might want to get is the February 17th. And the headline is Kingsville in National Spotlight, Thanks to Army Maneuvers. The subtitle is real interesting. It says, Public Officials Say Army Welcome Back Anytime. And Police Chief Garza's picture is two pictures of him on the front showing damage.
Police Chief who?
Police Chief Garza.
Garza, okay.
Garza.
For a minute, I thought you said Garms. That's our police chief.
Philippe Garza, G-A-R-Z-A.
Okay.
Okay, so those are the three issues. And, of course, I wasn't there. I won't be there tomorrow, so I don't know whether there'll be anything tomorrow. But those three issues have something in them. Next, I went to City Hall, and the city administration office, where the city secretary is this tiny little, tiny office. And wouldn't you know, I ran into Police Chief Garza. I recognized him immediately because of his picture. And I walked in, and there were two young women in there. One of them I had spoken with last week, and I knew which one it was from her voice. But I said, oh, I'll come back. And Mr. Garza said, no, I'm just waiting to see the city manager. Come on in. So it would have looked awkward, I guess, if I left. So I walked in, and I looked at the girls, and I said, I spoke with one of you last week on the phone, and I said, I would like to get two things from you if I could. And I said, I would like to see if there are any military press releases that you have. And they just kind of stared at me, and he immediately took over, and they didn't speak a word after that. And he said there were none, and I said, well, what about a copy of the county's letter to the city? Now, that turns out not to be true, apparently, but the WorldNet Daily reported that on February 17th.
Reported what?
That the county was sending a letter to the city and the Army. And I reread that before I got on the air here. And they did say that there would be a letter to the city and the Army, that the county was going to send one to both. Well, he said there was no letter to the city. They didn't know anything about one, he said.
Uh-huh.
So then I looked at him, and I had something else on my list, so I decided to look him in the face and ask him for it. So I asked for his biography or resume.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, he didn't really know that there was one, and maybe the college had one. And then he said, you know, I haven't asked you who you are or where you're from. And I said, well, I don't think I'm asking anything that shouldn't be open to the public. And he agreed, and he gave me his business card, and he shook my hand and said to please call me if I had any more questions. Well, I left there, and I went back later. But anyway, then I went to the library to get papers, but they were closed for that on Monday, so later I'll tell you that I decided to go to Corpus, and I'll tell you when I went there. Then I went to the county courthouse, and that's Clayburg County, K-L-E-B-E-R-G County. I have a copy of the agenda where they held a special meeting on 2/15.
That's the county.
This is the county.
Okay.
Number 7 of the agenda is to discuss an act on the Army exercise of February 8, 1999, and that was to be presented by Mr. Sanchez, Tomas Sanchez. He was the man that was spoken of in WorldNet Daily reports as being
the FEMA head.
FEMA.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to you what he told me when I next step. At the county, I'm losing my train of thought here. Okay, I know. I'm going to skip forward just a minute and tell you that Mr. Sanchez, that works for the county, as that was reported to be FEMA, he did verify that this action was agreed to. And that action was, under number 7, to send a letter to the Army Special Ops Command at Fort Bragg, stating that they wanted to be notified, the county wanted to be notified in the future if they plan to do any more exercises. One of the personnel that I spoke with there at the county, not Mr. Sanchez, because he's across the street, but she said that this letter that was agreed to at the 2:15 meeting has not been done and may not get done. As of now, they haven't done anything about the action they took at that meeting.
Why did she say it may not get done? Do you have any knowledge of why she would say that?
I don't. I intended to go back to the county, and that nagged on me all day. I intended to go back. I didn't get back before 5. I can't answer that.
Okay. That's all right.
I'm also going to tell you that, because I'm going to talk about Mr. Sanchez next anyway, that on that 2:15 special county commissioner's hearing, he told me in his office, and we were in there with the door closed, that the sheriff admitted at that meeting that he knew the time and the date, but not the specifics. Now, according to WorldNet Daily, the city manager, the mayor, and the chief of police were the only 3 that knew.
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh. And Mr. Sanchez said that that was his understanding until he went to that 2:15 meeting. And he said the sheriff admitted that he did know the time and the date. Because I specifically asked him, I said, so the county judge wasn't alerted? Because I had heard over at the county that the county judge wasn't alerted. So I asked that. Even though I knew it, I thought, well, that obviously was a sore point. So I said, so the county judge wasn't alerted or the sheriff? And he said, well, come to find out. And he told me about the sheriff admitting at that meeting. Okay. While I was speaking with Mr. Sanchez, he said that WorldNet Daily misquoted him many times. And I think it's important, whether he'll hear this or not, and I'm sure he won't because he doesn't even know that anything about why I was asking questions.
Uh-huh.
I just told him I was a concerned citizen and I was very worried about exercises like this. But I still think that I'd like to set for the record straight what he said they misquoted him. Okay?
Okay.
We need to know, maybe we should be more careful about what WorldNet Daily says for sure.
Well, first we need to contact WorldNet Daily and find out what they say about whether or not they misquoted him. Because sometimes these public officials will say something and then later regret it and then deny that they ever said it. That happens more often than you would care to believe.
Okay. Well, shall I go ahead and tell you what he said?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had copies of every WorldNet Daily article, and I handed him 2 where he had been quoted and had it highlighted, and he immediately started marking real fast. He said, this is not right, this is not right, and he went through both articles. And here's what he said. On February the 15th, first of all, he was very emphatic that he is not part of FEMA. Now, I'll tell you how he explains this. He is the Emergency Management Coordinator for the county. Under the Texas Disaster Act of 1975, immediately upon the swearing-in of a mayor, that mayor becomes the Emergency Management Coordinator. The mayor can assume the responsibility himself, or he can appoint a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sanchez was appointed. The funding is under this designation. These are letters. S as in Sam, L as in Lip, A as in Apple, -50. And he said what that is, SLA stands for State Local Allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And the 50 is for, they get 50% funding from FEMA.
Yes.
Okay. He said that also on that 15th article, they said martial law, they quoted him as saying martial law has been declared as a possible scenario. Well, he wanted me to know that he did not say that. He said that he was not in town when the exercise occurred. He was at a DPS flood fighting training in Austin.
Uh-huh.
He was briefed when he returned, and he said this is what he said, basically. He said, he might be wrong a word or two, but he said, quote, in a worst case scenario, it is possible that martial law could have been declared. Now, I just thought I'd make that distinction. Okay.
Okay.
He also said that where it says he has a security clearance, he said he does not have a security clearance. He had a security clearance.
Okay.
He said the article said he was wounded in Vietnam. He said that's not true. He is disabled, but he was not wounded in Vietnam. It also said that he said that PDD 25 has given an exception to special ops. He said he wanted to make it clear that he, like everybody else, has only seen the summary, and that's all.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then on the 16th, he was quoted as saying, quote, it's a done deal. I think there's some UN folks involved in this thing, too. He said he did not say that. He did not say what he said in place of, he just said he did not say that. Okay. Again, as he said, that to his knowledge, only the mayor, city council, and police chief were aware of the exercise in advance until the sheriff admitted at the meeting that he knew, the 2:15 meeting that he, county commissioner's hearing, that he knew also. He said the operation was to end on the 20th. I liked Mr. Sanchez. I really did. I'm not saying I'm a great judge of character, but I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next I went to the Kingsville Naval Air Station. And it's published there, or it's printed at the Kingsville Record, but they don't keep any copies of it. So I picked up a copy, two copies, and it's called Flying K, the Flying K, and it was published, the date was February the 12th. There was no mention of the exercise. And the only reason I knew there wasn't going to be, because they'd already told me that at the Kingsville Record, but I wanted to have it to see that there was, even though it was not supposedly a Navy exercise, I still thought maybe, since it's right there next to town, that there might be a mention of it, and there wasn't. I have some numbers here that I got out of the phone book for the Kingsville Navy Air Station Commanding Officer Base Information Public Affairs. Would you like me to give those?
Yeah, if you would. Maybe there might be somebody out there who wants to follow this up.
Okay. Again, it is area code 361. Commanding officer is 516-6481. Base information, 516-6136. Public Affairs, 516-6146.
And with all our experience with the military, and having been in the military for many years myself, if you call the base commander or any other person on the base and start asking questions, they will immediately refer you to the public information officer.
Ah.
That's the way it happens.
Okay. Well, my next trip was to Corpus, which took about 2.5 hours of my time, but I really wanted these newspapers.
Now, you and I, being old Texas people, we know what Corpus is, but all of our listening audience don't have a clue as to what you're talking about when you say Corpus.
Okay. Corpus Christi, Texas, right on the beach. In fact, I took 15 minutes and drove down Shoreline Drive because I hadn't been there in 28 years.
You're not supposed to say things that give away your age.
Oh. Well.
Being the very nice lady that you are.
Oh, thanks. Well, I don't know if other people did. I'm just going to say that I'm not a computer guru by any means, but I had terrible time with the Corpus Christi caller times website. I couldn't get the articles to come up. I could get the headlines to come up, and the articles would not come up. So I wanted these issues, and I'm glad I did go. So here are the, I'm going to give again the address, and I don't have a phone number, but the address, okay, in case someone wants to.
And this is the Corpus Christi caller.
Yes, and mm-hmm. that's for those people not living in Texas. It's the Corpus. Christi is Christi.
And in case you don't know it, folks, that's Latin for the body of Christ.
Ah. And then the rest of it is caller, caller-times. And their address is 820 Lower, L-O-W-E-R, North Broadway. Corpus Christi, Texas, 78401. They require $3 for any day of the week, even their Sunday paper. It's the same, $3.
That's postpaid.
Postpaid. And these are the, I've gone through all of them today, and these are the dates, and these are the only dates since the exercise sizes began on February 8th that have any mention of the exercise. Okay, forget February 9th. There was nothing. Okay, the first issue that people might want is February the 10th. Do you think I have time to read the headlines real quick?
Sure, you got all the time in the world.
Oh, well, okay, February the 10th was Maneuvers Surprise Kingsville. And that, I'm just going to tell you for your interest that that was on B4. It wasn't even in the front section. On the 11th, February the 11th, quote, Army to reimburse Kingsville. Nothing on the 12th. On the 13th, the headline is Military Training Disrupts Port A Residents. Now, that's Port Aransas, A-R-A-N-A-S, which is in that same general area. Nothing on the 14th, nothing on the 15th. On the 16th, it finally hit the front page. Quote, Army training spurs conspiracy fears. Conspiracy fears. And then the subtitle was Rumors Abound on Web About Area Exercises. Then on the 17th, February 17th, the headline is Military Defends Mission, and that is on A1, front page. I'd like to read just a couple of sentences from that, okay?
Sure.
Here we go. I think part of this, this sounds familiar, so I may have read part of this off WorldNet data, but it says, quote, two soldiers who asked to be identified as J.D. Zumwalt and Sam Joseph briefed the council on the operations and addressed several concerns about citizen safety related to the exercises. And let me see, I guess that's the city council, the Corpus Christi City Council. Now, this is not a quote. This was not a quote. There are some quotes above it, but this is what the paper wrote. It says, during the exercises, the soldiers have been swooping low over residential areas in Annaville, Kingsville, and Port Aransas in black helicopters with no lights. The soldiers wearing black face masks and night vision goggles use explosives and sometimes fire live rounds. I'm sorry, let me read that again. And sometimes fire live rounds during the exercises, the soldiers said. But that's not a quote.
Mm-hmm. That was, I know that article, and that was written before the Army admitted, before they had been denying, and stating that they had only used live rounds sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And then they came out and just flat, blatantly admitted that they were using live explosives and live rounds throughout the exercise.
Right. Okay. Then the next issue would be February 18th. And in that one, let's see. the headline is Old Courthouse Stormed in Mock Rescue. And that is when they hit Corpus Christi on that was in the paper on the 18th. So they had the exercise there in Corpus Christi also.
And what date was the exercise? The 17th? It had to be the 16th or 17th.
Yeah, let me see here. Wasting time.
That's okay.
I don't see a date on the front page here.
You got lots of time, Diana. Don't worry about time.
Oh, okay. okay, Wednesday night. So, February the 18th. Oh, I've lost track of time. Okay, Monday was the 15th. 16th, it was the 17th.
Okay.
Okay. So this was reported in the February 18th. Now, I didn't know that when I went to Corpus because I didn't have access. That's not true. I was still home when that happened. But I did not know that. Or I might have driven downtown to see. I did not know that until I got those papers. On February 19th, there was another article on the front page, Black Helicopters Conjure Up Dark Thoughts. And then the subtitle was After Exercises, Conspiracy Theorists Target Coastal Bend, B-E-N-D. There was a second article in the paper that day on February the 19th in the Corpus Christi paper. Special Forces Exercise Didn't Harm Courthouse. Okay, nothing on the 20th, nothing on the 21st. But on the 22nd, I found an editorial, and the editorial was met in tongue-in-cheek. They were talking about how much cheaper it would be if the military had gone ahead and destroyed that courthouse rather than the taxpayers having to pay to demolish it. So, well, those are all the papers that I know about because today's the 23rd, and I don't know.
Did you notice two things significant about those articles? It's the first time ever that the press has admitted the existence of black helicopters.
Black helicopters, yeah. Uh-huh.
Number one, and that the government has admitted that they exist. Number two, and number three, that was a lie that the courthouse wasn't damaged because they used explosives to blow doors off their hinges. That I know for a fact. They also blew out some windows.
Well, then I went to A&M University at Kingsville, and I talked with you about this earlier. I'll tell what I picked up there, okay? I'll do that later. But I just going to mention, I didn't even know Texas A&M University had a branch at Kingsville. Then I went back to City Hall, and of course, the police chief was gone by then, long gone, and I got copies of the agenda for the February 15th City Council meeting, and also the 22nd yesterday, I picked up a copy for that evening. The young lady that I had spoken with last week was so quiet when Mr. Garza was there was nice again, you know, and she told me that she was shocked at how many telephone calls they had received from all over the country. And I wanted to say something. I don't know if I have it here. Just one sec. Okay, I'm going to wait and say that. Okay. Then I had about 30 minutes between that and the city commission meeting, and I want to be sure and say that. They don't have a city council. They have a city commission.
City.
I found that interesting. And I asked at the city office there, I said, well, I'm confused. We at home, we call it city council and county commission. I said, do you have, that was in the morning before I'd been to the county courthouse. I said, mm-hmm. Do you just have one commission that's for the city and the county? And she said, no. But I thought that was an interesting use of words. They call it city commission.
Yeah, it is an interesting use of words, and it was reported everywhere that it would be a city council meeting.
Uh-huh.
Not a city commissioner meeting.
Yeah. Well,
city commission
agenda
meeting.
Right here. It says Kingsville Commission. It's all over the place. So it's in their own information. So, okay, and their meetings, I'll just tell you a little bit about, their meetings are different than ours. Theirs are televised. There was a cameraman there, and the reason I understand they're televised is because a shop owner told me, I spoke with her a little bit, and she said, well, I'll see you tonight, I'll watch you tonight on television. Well, they didn't pan the audience, so they kept the camera right on the city commission, but she said that it is televised. So in addition to the cameraman, there was the editor of the paper was there, Mr. Odom, three Texas A&M students, one of them sat next to me, and they were doing a class project. They had to attend a city commission meeting. And between 18 and 22 private, citizens, they kind of came and went. So it was up and down, but about 18 to 22, and about 5 to 7 city-type employees.
That's it.
They went immediately to number 4 on the agenda, which is public comment on agenda items. Well, the way they do that, and I knew this before I went in. I knew this last week. I called the city. I knew it last week, and I knew it when I stopped by about 4:30 to pick up agendas. The way they do it is in most city councils, they might bring up a zoning issue, and then the opponents and the proponents get so much time to speak, and then they go to the water tower, and then opponents and proponents. Well, the way they do it is, right up front, in this case it was item number 4, right then, anybody who wants to speak about any agenda item that is to come up during the meeting must speak then. They have 3 minutes to speak. In addition to that, right here, number 10, comments on non-agenda items. And when I called last week and talked to this young lady, she said that anybody could get up and speak during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So
you kept your peace.
Oh, I did. I did. Yeah. I don't know why. It just didn't feel right. I wasn't worried or anything like that. I didn't say anything.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. It just didn't feel like, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was my place to get up. I'm not afraid of people booing me or anything, but I just didn't feel right about it. But my point is that, the reason I knew last week that no one was going to get up and speak was because there were two men that were mentioned in two different WorldNet Daily articles, and one of them had an unlisted number, the other one did too, but I managed to find where he worked, and I'm not going to mention their names, but anyway, I talked with him, and in fact, I called him back about an hour and a half later after he was going to call this other gentleman that was talked about in WorldNet Daily, and he was going to find out from him. Both of them said, no, they weren't going to the meeting. And I said, well, don't you think you should? And to tell you the truth, I did not know at that point that there had been a meeting, a city commission meeting, on February 15th. I knew there was a county commissioner's meeting
mm-hmm.
on February 15th. I did not know there was one on a city commission meeting. So I knew that there probably wasn't going to be anyone there, but I thought that was just as important to know as if there were a room full of people complaining. So I stayed about an hour into the meeting, even though it was obvious that, and I verified at 4:30 when I picked up my agenda with the city secretary that the only opportunity people would have to speak is during that public comment period. After that, discussion is closed, and she said, that's right. Before I left the city council meeting, after it had been in progress for an hour, I asked someone as I was leaving just to make sure that I wasn't going to miss something, and they said no. The mayor did open it up, and he said, would anyone like to speak about an agenda item or something that is not on the agenda? And he looked around the room, and he waited 30, 40 seconds, and then he said, okay, on to the next item. The city secretary had told me at 4:30 that nobody, to her knowledge, spoke on February 15th at the city commission meeting about the military exercise. So apparently no one ever spoke.
Amazing.
So I knew that there wouldn't be anybody speak, but like I said, I still wanted to go and be there. Now, I'd like to make some miscellaneous, to tell you about some miscellaneous comments that I heard. I don't have too many here, but I don't want to name the people or say what position they might have held or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One person said...
But you do have those names in case anybody ever says that you're not telling the truth.
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Okay. And that's on... Okay. I was told that this was probably, in their opinion, not an exercise, but a dry run.
Mm-hmm.
And this was someone who would know, probably. Would be well informed of, is... Okay.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
All right. I told you about what someone said about in Kingsville, about if you make waves, what could happen to you.
Uh-huh.
It's an illegal substance in your car. One shop owner said that she was scared when the exercise was going on, and she thanked me for getting involved. She knew I was from out of town. She didn't know where or anything. And I didn't ask her. She was a nice lady, but I thought, well, why aren't you involved? Yeah. Another shop owner that I went in, and I went in to look around, and she said that she thought the exercise was a good thing, and why was I concerned about it? And I briefly told her about world government, and she said, well, what's bad about world government? We'll be dead, you know, and the typical things that everybody's heard before, you know. And
so she said, what's bad about it? We'll be dead?
What's bad about world government? And anyway, we'll be dead.
That's
when it happens.
Jeez.
Or before it happens. You know, you know how people say that. They say we'll be dead before it ever happens.
Makes me want to go live on Mars, you know?
Well, it makes me think, what about, you know, like I've wanted to say this so many times, so now I'm on shortwave radio, I'll say it. It's like saying, it's okay that I live in a free country. I'm glad I live in a free country, but I don't care whether anybody else gets to.
Yeah, and I don't really love my children or my grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what happens to them when I'm dead. That's exactly what they're saying.
Uh-huh. Okay, a worker downtown told me that she lived in a community called Riviera, R-I-V-I-E-R-A, just like the French Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 13 miles south of Kingsville on Highway 77. And I verified it on the map. And she said that the night of the exercise, she was so frightened, she and her family, she said the helicopters came from that direction. They came in south, heading north through Riviera up to Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they were so afraid that the windows were rattling so badly that they got out of the house because they were afraid that they were going to be hit by flying glass.
Uh-huh.
I had a lady at the city commission meeting as I was leaving. She was the other one, and I said, let me see if I understand this. There won't be any more public comment. And she said, that's right. And she was not a city employee, I don't believe. She was very casually dressed. And she said, well, why? What did you want to talk about? Or what were you waiting to hear talked about? And I said, well, the military exercise on the 8th. And again, I got that blank stare I said the events on the night of the 8th, and I got that blank stare like, well, what was I talking about? And she said she thought it was a good thing and that it could protect us from invasion from the shoreline.
Who's going to invade the United States of America? Who has the capability? Most of the nations on the earth don't even have any way to get troops over here in any kind of numbers that would make any kind of invasion even remotely possible.
Well, she said something that I thought was amazing. She said, I mean, it's just amazing because it's the way people think. And she said, well, as long as there are people like you who are concerned, then those of us like myself who are not concerned, and she kind of put her hands up like the two, like we would keep off, those of us who were concerned would keep back any of the bad stuff, and that those that really don't want to get involved, it's not necessary for them to get involved, because there's some of us out here who are trying to keep the,
yeah.
Anyway. I kept hearing from people that there really wasn't much damage, as if that was the point, you know? How much damage was done or not done. That's not the point, and we know that, so. I want to say one more thing, too, about, I called Mr. Odom back, like I said earlier, at the Kingsville Record, to ask about this editorial writer. And he told me that there was a city commission meeting in progress on February the 8th when the exercise began, and that they stopped the meeting and went outside to watch. Now, that means they had a city commission meeting on the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd.
That's very unusual.
Three in a row.
Yeah, that's extremely unusual for any city to do that.
As a matter of fact, I didn't tell you because I had forgotten about it until I spoke with him again. I had a pile of papers here that I hadn't gone through. I got the agenda for the 8th also. I don't know why. I just got it. The girl, city secretary, she said, well, we didn't know then what was going to happen. I said, I know, but I'd just like to have the agenda if I could. So he's right. They did have a meeting on the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. Now, he told me, he was real chatty when I called. And he asked me, he said, well, yeah, I saw you at the city commission meeting. And he said, how long do you live in Kingsville? And I said, well, I don't live here. Don't live there. I said, I live in Texas, but I don't live there. And he was a little more, I got a better sense, a better feeling that he's maybe more concerned than when he was telling me yesterday morning that it was a non-event and that they stood and watched it from their windows and that they didn't get any letters from the editor. He seemed a little bit more concerned. And he did say, now this is what he told me, that himself and the city officials were notified prior to the exercise. So he said he knew about the exercise, he just didn't know the date.
So all of this baloney that they were handing out, that only the mayor, the police chief, and one other person, I forget who it was, knew, it was a lie.
According to him, he did not know the emergency management coordinator. And I seemed to like him, and I felt like he took his job seriously. And I think he felt like that if there had been an emergency arising out of it, that he should have been notified. And the whole thing was an emergency, but
yeah.
So anyway.
What about their contention that they were sworn to secrecy by the Army? Did anybody comment on that?
No, and I didn't ask. I didn't. I could have stayed probably a month, you know?
Yeah, well, you could have. Yeah.
but I'm still going to do some checking and some things. But Now, I only have one more thing, and it's that thing I mentioned to you over the phone earlier. Do you mind if I mention that?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I won't say who told me, but I do have written down the two people that are...
Why can't you say who told you?
I guess I could. I just didn't know if I should.
Yeah, go ahead. It's a matter of public record. I mean, there's no...
Okay.
There shouldn't be any repercussions.
Okay. I wanted to go back to the county and check it out at the county, too, and I did not check it out. But I will tell you that Mr. Sanchez, the emergency management coordinator, and Mr. Odom, the editor and publisher of the paper, and the lady at the courthouse, let me tell you what they said. They said that Mr. Sanchez and Mr. Odom said that the Exxon building is owned by Texas A&M University. It went through other hands, I think. Someone said that they eventually got it through a donation. It was donated to them.
Uh-huh.
And the lady at the court, at the city commission meeting, as I was leaving, the one that said, as long as there's people like us, that they don't have to worry, she told me that was common knowledge that Texas A&M owns that building.
So to have the exercise in the Exxon building or around it, they would have had to have permission of Texas A&M.
Exactly. That's exactly what Mr. Sanchez said. So Mr. Sanchez and Mr. Odom at different times, Mr. Sanchez yesterday, Mr. Odom today, volunteered this information. Well, they both volunteered it because I didn't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
After telling me that the Exxon building was owned by Texas A&M University, they went on, both of them, separately, told me that the president of A&M, at Kingsville is retired General Mark, and that's M-A-R-C, Cisneros. And that didn't mean a thing to me until they told me who he was, but I knew it would mean, it meant something to you.
Yeah, who did they tell you it was?
They said that he was the, he led Operation Just Cause into Panama, and where they brought Noriega back.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Not only did they bring Noriega back, but they killed several thousand innocent Panamanians on purpose, intentionally, in the process.
So, when I said earlier that I went to A&M University, well, the reason I went there was to pick up some kind of a proof that he is, in fact, the president. And I got a newspaper. It's called the, I can't remember at this moment, but I have two copies of it. And his picture is in there twice, and they mention him as the president. And so, and with his name, and so I just wanted some verification that he is the president. I didn't have time to get on the internet this afternoon and look any of this up. So,
so he's the president of the Kingsville branch of Texas A&M University.
Yes. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Diana. Is there anything else that comes to mind that you think the listening audience might like to know?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm sure there's some really, there's probably somebody from Kingsville listening tonight. And, I dropped a few goodies off that had your frequency and few tapes.
Good.
And, I'm sure there are some really concerned people, but goodness gracious.
They're afraid.
Not to show up at that meeting, or either meeting, any meeting. They have the opportunity. I wondered what those 18 or 22 people were doing sitting there. I mean, it's nice that they go to listen to the city council, but none of them, we should all do that, city commission, I should say, in their case. But, if they're concerned enough to go and listen to what's going on at the commission meeting, then I can't understand when they have a forum like that why they don't take advantage of it. So I'm sure there's some really concerned people there, but generally, overall, I got the feeling that there was total apathy and everybody thought it was a good thing, and so let's have some more, that kind of attitude.
Uh-huh.
So that's really all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. As usual, you did a wonderful job.
Oh, well, thank you, I hope.
And we appreciate it.
I hope someone got some information out there.
Well, you gave us a lot of information.
Okay.
And we deeply appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'll still try to get newspapers and maybe make a few calls and see if I have anything else to pass on to you later.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. And, isn't that strange? 18 to 22 people were all that showed up. And the discrepancy is, she said, people were coming and going. But never more than 22, about 22, and about, never less than about 18. That's all that showed up, and nobody said a word. And according to the information she obtained from the officials in the city, nobody said a word about it on the 15th at that city commission meeting. Amazing. And, I think that there's a lot of good people there, too. But I think they've fallen victim to a malaise that has taken over this country. Everybody is scared to death, especially of the federal government. Literally terrified. And so, don't want to be labeled as a conspiracy theorist or a right-wing extremist or an anti-government person. The communist news networks have done their job. Amazing. I find this absolutely amazing. There is a, if you want to know what kind of person General Cisnero is, General Mark Cisnero, I've done quite a bit of research on him and on Operation Just Cause and the whole thing involving Manuel Noriega. Manuel Noriega was actually fronting for the CIA and was in charge of the Central American aspect of the drug running through the nation of Panama. He coordinated all that, and they laundered the money in Panamanian banks. Where Noriega ran into trouble is when he went against the CIA and decided to take a little cut of the action for himself. And that's when they went in to get General Noriega. Drugs haven't stopped coming into this country. They haven't even slowed down, not the tiniest little bit. Not the day after, and not the month after, and not the year after. Period. And there's a videotape that was made following the Operation Just Cause, the invasion of Panama. By the way, I predicted that invasion just 3 days before it happened on East Coast Live, which is the Alan Handelman show, a syndicated rock show. And I was his guest one Sunday night and predicted that within 2 weeks, the United States would invade Panama, would go to war and invade Panama. And exactly 3 days later, that's exactly what we did. That's on record. You can contact Alan Handelman to get confirmation of that. There's a video out, and it's called Panama Deception. You've got to get your hands on that video to understand who this General Mark Cisneros is. What they did in Panama is, if I go into it, I'm going to have to spend all of the rest of this broadcast talking about it, and I really don't want to do that, but they went in there, and not just going after Manuel Noriega. That was a full-scale exercise to test new weapons and to practice taking over a population and culling that population. They killed thousands of people purposely. Had nothing to do with getting Manuel Noriega. None of those people were military troops, and none of them fought back. Burned whole sections and destroyed whole sections of the poor portions of town, which, remember, it's one of the goals of the New World Order to cut back on the population of the world and to get rid of what they call the useless eaters. That's why most of the people they destroyed were in the poorer sections of the city. But get that video, Panama Deception. It's all documented. It's sourced. You can see for yourself what happened. Instead of listening to the bullshit that the officials in Washington, D.C. have told you. All we get, ladies and gentlemen, from the government is lies. And if you don't believe that, you're in Disneyland, and the park's closed. You haven't even noticed that the rides aren't working, and there's nobody else there but you. That's amazing. Well, Diana, thank you so much for your report, and we deeply appreciate that. See, we have people all over the place, folks, who are members of the Intelligence Service, members of the CAGI News Service, members of Veritas News Service, and all of our organizations, and are always investigating, digging up facts, and then relaying those facts to me. And we then analyze them, put them together, and somewhere down the line you see the results of it. Maybe not under that name, but you see or hear the results of all of that research. Either here on the Hour of the Time, or in Veritas newspaper, or somewhere. You may not even hear it from me, but you will hear it. Believe me, you will. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
Well, you might have read it in the paper. It happened just last week. That the man up on the building shooting people in the street. Well, they captured him and took him in psychiatric observation. And then they held a press conference need this explanation. They said, don't blame his alcoholic father or his codependent mother. It wasn't his sociopathic sister or his transvestite brother. No, he'd just been on the freeway for hours when he finally lost his mind. There were orange barrels everywhere. He was stuck behind. A little blue-haired lady in a big black coat and jeans. Yeah, you could barely see her peeking out beneath that steering wheel. She couldn't turn that thing around in a 40-acre field. A little blue-haired lady in a big black coat and jeans. A little blue-haired lady in a rocket 90 doing 20 miles an hour flat out on the interstate. She wouldn't speed up, she wouldn't turn to the left or right for you. A little blue-haired lady in a big black automobile. Do you remember Pearl Harbor, Sheet Number 741? How the Japanese bombed our fleet and beat the tag of dawn. When Roosevelt asked the Japanese ambassador, why didn't you give us warning? He said, we found electric for our driver was stuck in traffic all morning. Behind a wrinkled blue-haired lady in a big black automobile. You can barely see her tiny fingers on top of the steering wheel. She wouldn't be up, wouldn't turn to the left or right or view. A wrinkled blue-haired lady in a big black automobile. Behind one friend who knows just how it feels. See that little blue head peeking out beneath that steering wheel. Lord, deliver me from blue head lady and big black automobile. Yes, this was a little blue head lady and a big black automobile. Lady, if you don't speed up, you're going to get a parking ticket.
Oh, my. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the agenda is Pooh's take list. Pooh, that's my daughter, Dorothy Moree Cooper, sing the Pledge of Allegiance on the Hour of the Time when she was 3 years old. Nobody taught it to her. I don't know where she learned it. We were driving, going somewhere where I was going to give a lecture. And I heard the Pledge of Allegiance from the back seat from my three-year-old daughter, and I was amazed, almost drove off the road. And she's been doing it ever since. Now Allison is beginning to do it, and she's 3 years old, and together they're called the Pledge Girls. And occasionally there are other children who say the pledge with them. But nowadays it's generally those two. Well, Pooh has a Saturday morning broadcast. She calls it Pooh and Aggie's Saturday Morning Show. And every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, from 9 till 10 a.m., she does Pooh and Aggie's Saturday Morning Show. Aggie is her doll. And Aggie has an integral part of the broadcast. And she reads stories and makes up stories. And I guess she's become a ventriloquist. She and Aggie co-hosts the broadcast, and she tapes all of her broadcasts, and she has her own tape list now, so she wants me to tell you about that, and so I will. This is Pooh's list, Pooh and Aggie's list. List of Pooh and Aggie's Saturday morning show, 9 to 10 a.m. in the Round Valley on 101.1 FM, $5 each, please enjoy. I'm reading right from her list. Her first broadcast was on, let me see here, 13. I need Pooh to come in here. Pooh, if you're listening, I need you to come in here and explain something to me.
Yes.
What is this, honey?
13.
December. Huh? December, okay, it should be 12. December 26th, was that your first show?
No, I lost some of the tapes.
Oh, you lost some of the tapes. Okay, so this should be December, and what is this?
I don't really know. I just had it marked on the tape.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll just tell you that her tape list is available. Apparently, she lost some of her tapes, but she's got to redo these dates because they're not right. And if you'd like to have a copy of her tape list, just send a letter to Pooh and Aggie Cooper. Aggie is spelled A-G-G-I-E. Pooh and Aggie Cooper, in care of Harvest Trust. That's in care of Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970. That's P.O. Box 1970. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. It's 85925. And Pooh will send you her tape list, and you can pick any of her broadcasts that you would like to order. Send her $5 postpaid, and she'll send you a copy of her Pooh and Aggie's Saturday morning show. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, anything you want to say? You want to say the pledge? You want to help? Okay. Come on. Here's the pledge, girls. They want to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So here it is. Actually, it's the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Okay.
Okay.
Go for it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, girls.
You're welcome.
Okie doke. Now, you need to work on your tape list.
Okay.
Okay, folks. That's it. If you'd like to have a copy of Pooh and Aggie's Saturday Morning Show tape list, just write to Pooh and Aggie Cooper in care of Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, and Pooh will get your letter and send you out a copy of her very own tape list written in her very own hand, and then you can choose what you want to order or not order at all. It's up to you. But if you do, the tapes are $5 postpaid. She set the price. Whatever money there is will go to her because it's her show and it's her tapes and it's hers. I'm sure a good portion of it's going to go to postage and that kind of thing. So, okay, for the rest of the broadcast, we're going to open the phones, numbers 520-333-4578, and get your impression on what you heard reported by our reporter on the scene, Diana in Texas. And as we normally do, we omit last names so that our people are not persecuted for being one of our people. The number once again is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. What is your impression of what you heard from the report from Kingsville, Texas, and I guess Corpus Christi also, since she went down there, by our reporter, Diana? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Long live the New World Order.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Long live the New World Order.
Long live the New World Order. Does that mean you're pro-New World Order? Are against New World Order, or what? Not there. Well, you know what that means. That means cowardice. And that means we were called by a twit brain. 520-333-4578. If you're going to call this broadcast, folks, if you have an intelligent viewpoint to put across, we'd love to hear it. But we don't need to hear from coward twits like that. If you don't have the courage to espouse your viewpoint and to talk about it, then call somebody else. Call Art Bell. He loves that kind of stuff. He really, really eats it up. It's the apple of his eye. He'll love you. He'll probably send you a postcard and a t-shirt with the skull and bones on it or something like that. Because he's one of you. He's a twit himself. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
I really enjoyed Diane's commentary tonight. And I wanted to know what she meant by it was a dry run. Is this something that we're going to have to look forward to, or is this something that's going to become commonplace, or what?
Yes, absolutely. Not just to look forward to as an exercise. Someday it's going to be for real. They're going to come to take our guns away. And you're going to have a choice. You're either going to give them up and become a slave in the New World Socialist Order, or you're going to use your gun for what our founding fathers intended them to be used for, and that's to protect our freedom and liberty.
Well, I think that they're going to have a battle with some of us.
Well, they're certainly going to have one with me, that's for sure.
Well, I think they've already got one with you.
Yes, they did.
But I found that very disturbing, the whole idea, and everybody just shrugged their shoulders.
Well, not everybody, I'm sure. Like she said, there's probably a lot of good people there who are very upset about this, but they're afraid to speak up. Remember what she said? What could happen to you if you make waves in Kingsville, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
You could find some illegal substance in your car.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't prove it wasn't yours.
Well, there may be nothing that some people could do about it, but they'd play hell making that stick with me. They play hell arresting me for something like that.
Well, when are...
It's about time Americans stopped being wimps. If you know that there's no cocaine or heroin in your car, and you know that some police officer who stopped you put it there, and then he tries to arrest you, and you're going to go along with him, knowing full well that the end result of that is you're going to be spending about 20 years in prison, and you're not going to do anything...
That's some people's viewpoint, but that's definitely not mine.
Well, see, that's what most people do. They think somehow they're going to get out of it. They're not. It happens all the time.
Well, the whole thing is just really upsetting, and the thought of it, and for it to be coming out, and for it to be something that we're going to have to go through is scary.
Well, sure, it's scary. But isn't it better to know about it beforehand and prepare yourself for it than to be caught with no warning whatsoever?
Oh, absolutely, forewarned.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep listening, and I really appreciate the lady that did all the research. She did a lot of legwork.
Well, she's done a lot of that for us over the years. We have thousands of people across this country and, in fact, around the world who do this for us all the time. Most of the time, you never hear from them. You never hear their voice. You never know what they've done. But if you're ever up here, I'll show you boxes and boxes and file cabinets and storage lockers full of the research and papers and things that they have gathered and sent to us that we have then compiled and analyzed and in some way been able to help the American people with the results of that analysis and reporting.
Well, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
I thank all of them, because if it wasn't for them, it'd be pretty hard for me to do any of it. I do an awful lot of research, but I couldn't go to Kingsville, Texas. Good evening. You're on the air.
I am.
Hello.
Regarding
Yes.
That's been on the Independent Film Channel and Sundance Channel.
Yeah, can I get you to talk louder, please?
That's been on the Independent Film Channel and the Sundance Channel.
Uh-huh. Yes, it has. And it's available in some places. Don't some video rental stores carry it?
I don't know. I usually go to the library.
You found it in the library?
Yeah, libraries have it.
Oh, okay. Good. That's wonderful. Anything else you can add?
Well, a gal called up the other night talking about a film, Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
In regards to people not reading enough. book by Ray Bradbury.
Yes, it is.
It's better than the film.
Well, most books are better than the films. Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Well, that's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, Ray Bradbury is a noted, very famous science fiction author. And folks, I'm here to tell you that a lot of science fiction that they call science fiction, that you read as science fiction, someday comes true. A lot of it comes true. And some of it is written with the knowledge that it will come true. 520-333-4578 is the number. What's your take on what you heard from our reporter in Texas tonight? What do you think about it? Does it disturb you? Does it not disturb you? Is it what you expected? You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. You requested a comment on the young lady that made that terrific report.
Yeah, well, not necessarily on the young lady, but on the report. And I need you to talk a lot louder if you can, please.
All right, sir. I'll certainly try. My information, which is hearsay on top of hearsay, but I understand that the secondary or perhaps the primary reason the conduct of these exercises is to gauge and measure public reaction in those areas.
I would assume that is probably one of the integral points of the exercise. If they were just doing an exercise, doing what they say that they are doing, they would pick out maybe one or two locations that suited their purpose and they would do it. But they've been doing it all over the country, in different cities, everywhere.
That would indicate that it's not just simply to practice.
No. Also, I believe another integral purpose of the operation is to acclimate people with those kinds of things happening and instilling in their minds that it's not dangerous and they don't have anything to worry about, so that when they do it for real, they won't meet with any opposition.
And that would also indicate, or to me anyway, that the bottom line to the young lady's report would be that the folks down there are acclimated and conditioned.
Yeah, and will be literally eaten alive.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Mr. Cooper, and let somebody else give you a call.
Thank you for your call. There was a caller during the music, but I could barely hear what he said. In fact, I couldn't hear what he said. His voice was so low, and I tried to get him to speak louder and hold on until the music was over, and he hung up. So I have no idea who he was. I don't know what he said, I couldn't even hear. Well, I could hear that somebody was there, but I could not hear a thing about what he was saying. The number is 520-333-4578. When you call, folks, please put the mouthpiece directly in front of your mouth and speak loudly, and we won't have any problems with the audience hearing you, because you know we operate on a shoestring here. We don't have several thousand dollars to buy a phone patch, and so we have this speaker phone about 14 inches from the microphone. That's as close as we can get it, and we've got the speaker turned as high as we can get it, and that's how we get you on the air when you call. So you have to talk loudly. 520-333-4578 is the number. For those of you who would like to write the Kingsville Record and get a copy of any of those three dates that Diana named, here's the address once again. Kingsville Record, that's the newspaper. P.O. Box 951, that's P.O. Box 951. Kingsville, Texas, 78364. That's 78364. $1 for Wednesday's papers and $1.50 for Sunday's papers. Includes postage and handling. And the three issues that she said were pertinent were February the 10th, 14th, and 17th. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Gene. And I'm just wondering, is there any more information regarding the Clipper chip, which was a story in the news, I guess not too long ago?
Well, the Clipper chip has been installed in some types of video equipment, but it's not anything that's bad like everybody's been telling you. You use it to block reception to certain programs so that your children, if they're underage and shouldn't be watching those kinds of programs, can't have access to them.
Well, what I heard was, you know, from the gloom and doom stories was that the government was going to monitor communications and they could do it with a chip.
No, not with the Clipper chip.
Oh, what chip am I thinking of? Do you know what it was about that had to do with...
I know what you're talking about. Intel is coming out with a new processor for computers. It's called the Pentium 3. Okay? They have the P2, now they're going to the P3. The Pentium 3 is just coming out now, and they were going to build into each processor a specific code so that when you bought a computer and went on the internet, wherever you went, it would leave the tracks of this identification code of that particular chip so that they would know, whoever bought that computer, whether they had your name or not, went to those different places and sent these messages and you know, so on and so forth. Whether or not they can actually do that is a matter of conjecture, but that's what people are afraid of.
Well, I understood the chip that I'm thinking of was a chip that could be installed in any communication device besides computers, and it could be in telephones, it could be, matter of fact, somebody said that whoever had control could turn on the telephone without even anybody knowing that it was turned on. And
I wouldn't pay too much attention to all of that kind of stuff.
Well, it's just, you know, it's I guess you'd say conjecture and everything else. Mm-hmm. By the way, I finally caught one of the shows. Gary North was on this K2 thing coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering particularly about the power grid system and just what they were going to do, and they talked about the gloom and doom of that, but I said, to me it sounds like all you'd have to do is start breaking up the grid for that period of time, and then you can put it together again. You calculate how much power you need for a particular area, and I'm very sure the ones that would not make out are the ones that produce too much power, and they have to sell the stuff to the smaller ones. But to just get around this bump in the road in the year 2000, come offline. They could all come offline, and they can control their own segment of area, and then slowly put it back together again. I don't really see any problem.
Well, there isn't. You're absolutely right. This big problem that the doomsayers are predicting for Y2K just does not exist. There may be some interruptions of some services, and some banks may have some problems, and maybe some train switching equipment won't work, and the trains may have to stop until they get squared away. Nobody knows exactly what the extent of what's going to happen is going to be, but whatever happens is going to be fixable, and it's going to be fixable in a very short period of time. The problem right now is they can't identify all the places where the problems are going to happen, and even though they can fix most computers so there won't be any problems, some of them are still going to have somewhere in them where nobody knows it is, a date malfunction that might cause a major malfunction. And when that happens, then they'll know exactly where it is, and they can go in and fix it within, you know, a few days.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, what do you do if a soldier's out there, around the world fighting a war, and he's got all this electronic gear on him, and everything fails at the same time? What's this soldier supposed to do? He stands there like a doorknob, or does he...
Well, I hope that's exactly what they do. I hope that's exactly what they do. The modern military forces are so dependent upon technology that when they come against the American people to try to put us in their new world socialist order, that if we can disrupt their flow of spare parts and their power supplies, and if we can depend upon normal breakdowns and stuff, that you know, without that high tech stuff, they're not going to be able to operate.
Right. Matter of fact, what was it? The only thing I got out of maybe North's story when I listened to it that had any possible scare to it was he started to talk about the money supply, the gold bullion and whatever. And I said, now this is what people really get afraid about. They don't care about the power going out. But boy, talk about their money, and they really start to get interested. And now they're talking.
That's because they're greedy.
Well, that's what it comes down to. It's greedy. Yeah. You know, instead of standing on a corner with a cup of coffee and say, hey, what do you hear, Joe, about this latest thing that's supposed to happen last night? Oh, I don't know, Sam, it's something, but. Here I see people. I keep thinking of the old days. I haven't been around at that time, but you hear stories about the time back in the 30s, whatever, when the banks went up and in the 29, and people were dropping out of windows and the whole story. And I'm saying, God, if it got to that point, people are just not put together. They're not wrapped together too tight. They're just out there greedy. And power could be one thing, but boy, you talk about their money. And they're ready to take a shot at you right away,
Yeah, well, those people are married to money and possessions, and so they're enslaved by it.
Yeah.
And if they lose it, they'll be absolutely destroyed. If I were to lose it all, it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, well, the same thing happens here. If my health is the most important thing that I have, and I've been in situations where I got very uptight, but then there comes a point where you just... I wouldn't say crash, but you say there's so much happening here. I just can't believe that it's happening. And you take a second, third breath, and you say, "Gee, I didn't die. I'm still here. It's just a problem that I see. It's workable. No problem." But try to explain it to the people that are greedy. I mean, they're working their little computers to the bone, And,
well, they're working themselves to the bone to have a good life that they can't have because they're working so hard that their life is nothing.
Their
life is measured by, usually most of these people, their life is measured by a vacation that may be taken once every 4 or 5 years. That's
it.
The only time they enjoy all what they're working for.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a total waste.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
And you're right on about the banking thing. That's the only danger that I can see from all this Y2K thing is that people are going to panic and cause a run on the banks, and the whole thing's going to come tumbling down. And that will be, you have no idea the consequences that can come out of something like that. So I hope that you don't run on the bank, that you just leave it alone. Whatever problems may occur will be solved within a few days, a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most. So what? You couldn't cash a check in 2 weeks? You can't survive like that? And if it's a major problem, everybody's going to understand it. You think your landlord's going to be beating down your door, threatening to kick you out if he knows that you got the money in the bank, but you can't cash a check because of Y2K? No, because he's going to be having the same problem. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is the second time I've called you. On that call from Texas, I think what's happening is they're using gradualism, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Just, you know, just like, well, we're only going to tax you a penny. Well, a little bit later, it's only another 2 cents and so on and so forth.
Plus, if you read my book in Chapter 1, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, you'll see a method for testing the public's reaction to certain things that happen by what they call shock testing. And that's one of the purposes of these exercises.
Well, I'm really concerned about what happened in Australia. I watch what I call Tarzan and Jane, and it's Steve and some other gal. You know, this guy goes out and tackles alligators and wild pigs with his bare hands.
Yeah, we watch that once in a while, too.
It's good. Now, I don't know what his politics are or whatever, but he's got a bigger pair than any man I've ever seen. When you can tackle a wild pig, you're doing something. But if the Australians went down without a bubble, and I think that those probably...
But they didn't.
They didn't?
That's what they want you to think. I did a broadcast not too long ago where I told the truth about that. And I read it right from the mouth of the Australian officials. The Australians did not turn in their guns. They took their guns underground. All they turned in was junk, and they got paid handsomely for their junk. They kept their good stuff, took it underground. And I got to tell you, Australians are not wimps.
No, they're not. They're kind of like Americans used to be.
Yep, you better believe it. And they did not knuckle under. They did not give up their guns. But you see, Washington, D.C. doesn't want you to know that.
Well, I think that from my travels, I see an awful lot of people. They've just been domesticated. They're so afraid of losing what they've got. And they kind of hate your guts for bringing up the truth. And yep. I've run into this a number of times.
Let's call it what it is. They're stupid.
Yeah. I've also been sending you some different things in the mail, and I'm kind of mad at you right now, Bill. I sent you in a network. You know, like you keep telling people to speak up. This is a couple of diodes, or a couple of resistors, or a resistor and a couple of capacitors. You can boost this signal, I mean, to the maximum. See those clipping
wait,
diodes?
Wait,
I don't know
you. Whoa, wait a minute. You sent me what?
I sent you a schematic for a network to put on your phone.
I didn't get it. I got the second one you sent.
Yeah.
Which is a part of that kind of thing that you're talking about. The first one, I never got it.
Well, I put it in the little. I'll send you another one. But basically what the thing is, it's got two clipping diodes. It's got two capacitors and a resistor. And the thing is, the clipping diodes, if the signal is somebody speaking too strong, what will happen is it'll clip it down to a 1 volt level. And then you can boost the heck out of the signal. For those people that don't speak clearly or strongly, you can go to any level. And this thing here had a line level, a 600 ohm level. You know,
yeah.
In other words, this amplifier, the first thing that I sent you had an amplifier.
Never got it.
Well, I'm going to have to send that to you again, because, you know, you're one of my favorite people. I do have your book, and I just got my tape, my set of tapes for the book, the talking book.
Yeah, I read your second letter where you included another little schematic. And it made mention of the first schematics that you sent, and we never got it. I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, I kind of had a problem, like, with the mail. See, like, on the last one that I sent, I just went on down and I used that, like, overnight letter thing, and I made the lady watch while I put everything in the box, in the envelope, and, you know, because I didn't want no hassle, and I know any time you talk on the phone with another person, you're talking to three people or more, if you get my drift. And so the thing is, I says, well, we're not going to have any problem with the package. And so I had the ladies watch me put it in there, and then I sealed it, and then I made her hand stamp it, which is what I think anybody should do any time that they write you a letter. at least that way they can't say, well, we just had to inspect this letter for whatever and, you know, get their notice into your business. But I will specifically find, you know, any amplifier will do, but this particular amplifier that I got from QST Magazine, the schematic, they had a printed circuit available. Now, it's a couple of years old, but anybody who's a tech could build you an amplifier, but this one had a 600-ohm line. And that second thing, that network thing that I sent you, that shows that the telephone line is a 600-ohm input, and it's also 600-ohm output, you know, into the lines. And it also has an 8-ohm, like, for speakers. So, you know, you can play with that. But I will go ahead.
Yeah, what, one thing that you may not know about telephone hybrids, listening to you talk about this thing that you sent, that I never got, is that there's a problem when you receive a phone call from somebody that they have to be able to hear the whole broadcast. They got to be able to hear the music and everything. So
A
patch goes into the mixer, and then on the out back through the phone line to them, you're feeding the whole broadcast. So they're not only hearing my voice, but music and all kinds of stuff, and we're getting their voice. The problem is, and I don't exactly know what to call it, but these things have to be separated in some way, or you get tremendous feedback.
Well, I understand that. Yeah, that's like when people plant bugs, and then you use what they call a screamer to locate it, because you know, you're transmitting, and then the amplifier is picking it up. And then it forms a particular loop inside of the room, and then you go from there. But I was just talking about, see, like a transformer, you know, you've got electronics, you know what I mean. You know, it's just a loop of wire, you know, start out with a loop of wire and wrap it around a piece of iron core, and it comes back out, you know. So you got, you know, it's an in and a ground, and then, of course, the other one is the same way, but reversed, and they have the iron core. But what I'm saying is that... get the you know, to get the weak signal from the phone line in there to begin with, so that you can start processing it. You can boost the heck out of it. And if you like, you're going all the way to Kennebunk, Maine. Sometimes you could use a boost on your signal going out.
Oh, we have that. We have a Comrex that takes care of all of that.
I'm gonna dig that stuff out and send it to you again. Like I said, I know that you've got a tremendous amount of stuff that you have to process, and I also sent you that security magazine. Well, it's not a magazine, it's a security catalog, and they have a lot of stuff in there. So like I said, I've been in security work for 20 years. I also have a special problem, and I alluded to that on my last program, and I won't, you know, this time again either. But I have got 20 years worth of security, and I'm working on the telephone systems. That is the telephone switch, you know, the main switch. And I do cabling too, you know. But so I've got a pretty good background in that. But you know, with this equipment that you're going to be using, you know, there was some of that telephone stuff in there too. Now, I go to the flea market an awful lot of times, and I pick up phones, like cellular phones and whatever. And in fact, I got a cellular phone complete for $10. Allegedly, it works. Is there any way that you could possibly use anything like that?
No. In fact, we don't want any cellular phones around here because they can be traced.
Oh yeah. Okay. Do you get monitoring times at all? Are you familiar with this? This is a monitoring magazine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know about it. No, we don't get it. We don't get it because of expense. We have to be very careful about what we spend money on around here.
Okay. Well, I've got a six-month subscription. I'm not too totally happy with it, but I tell you what.
It's a socialist political bent to it, but the actual radio information in it is good information. If you say
that is what I get it for. Only recently did I learn that Dustin Hoffman is supposed to be a communist or a socialist, a sympathizer, whatever. Now, I happen to like him as an actor. I think he's probably one of the finest actors I've seen in a long time. You know, but, you know, if he happens to be a socialist, well, I'm sorry, but I can still enjoy his acting and his ability. Not that I care for his politics, but the same thing goes for this monitoring times. If you would like, when I get through with these things, I could just ship them on to you, you know, for no charge or whatever.
Sure, that'd be great.
And like I say, I want to help you in any way I can. You know, you got a long, hard way to go. And like I say, the people that I talk to, I talk and talk and talk. In fact, I just lost a job. One of my companies called me up, you know, that I work for as a contractor. And this guy was a Civil War buff. And, you know, he asked me what I thought of it. He was a pretty good old boy from Kentucky. And I told him, and I says, well, you know, I says, you know, we get talking a bit. And I says, you know, I know a guy on shortwave, a hell of a guy, and I believe that you'd like some of this material. So like a damn fool, because I needed the job, because I hadn't worked 5 months, and I sent him a tape of your program, not the good one, like when you took people to test, which, you know, I think it was long overdue. But I sent him that, I sent him the shortwave frequency thing, and I sent him some other material, you know, like some excerpts out of the book.
You probably scared him to death.
Huh? Yeah, and it also screwed me up. I had about a shoe-in for this particular job, which I needed, and, you know, I had to call back, you know, on the due date when people were supposed to go out, and it was gone, and then I called the supervisor, and I left 3 messages, and he never returned the call, and I went back and called the other guy, the recruiter, who called me, and he wouldn't receive my call.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Bill, I was really ticked.
They're scared.
But you know something, Bill? Believe it or not, I am glad that I did that. You know, it cost me. But I tell you what, it's the thing of, I'd rather know now, you know, because I've still got another company to go to. But I would rather know what these people are going to do than when the crunch comes, you know. And, yeah. And in fact, I'd rather, you know, ask a few people for favors now or let it hang out right now. And see how they're going to be, because I'll tell you, you know, you've got too good a Christian attitude. My feeling is this, and it's a little bit hard. If you don't help me now, then later on, you know, after I put my butt on the line, like you said, your butt's hanging out, and boy, it sure is. But if you won't help me now, when it ain't going to cost you nothing, and then later on, when you desperately need my help after you've crapped on me, I ain't going to be there.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, I've just been through so much of it. Like I said, I've traveled all over the U.S. Now, I've not done foreign countries like you have, but I would assume that people are pretty much the same the world over. And if they're so afraid, or they look at you with a smug grin on their face, you know, like, you know what they're saying. They're saying, love you, you know.
Yeah.
And, okay, fine, you know, but when it does hit, when you're really, you know, hurting out there, I'm going to take care of the people who helped me, and I'm going to take care of the people who are worth saving. And quite frankly, Bill, I don't think that there's probably but about 5, no more than 7% of the people in the United States of America that's worth a damn. And I really hate to say that, but I think it's true.
Well, I understand why you said it,
mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you that sometimes I've felt the same way. But I have this feeling that when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan, some of the people that that we may have a tendency to write off may surprise us, and some of the people that we think will stand and do what's right will go the other way. And so I'm reluctant to make that kind of judgment. I'm going to wait and see.
Have an awful lot of options, you know. So I'm going to send you that schematic, and that other thing again. Hopefully you'll get it.
Okay.
I'm going to send you some other stuff with a, like a disclaimer, you know, look it over, whatever. And I'm going to send you some suggestions for security. Like I said, I got 20 years. And most of them are somewhat unusual. I've worked for Westinghouse. I've worked for Central. I've worked for another few. I'm not going to mention those, but, you know, that's the type of work that I've done. I've worked for the very rich and for the very poor. But in your particular circumstance and situation, you're going to need something special. And so if you would, I would like to be able to send you some material for your perusal and for you to use as you will.
Well, certainly.
And so, like I say, I do have a good background, and I'm most unusual. We're a lot alike, believe it or not. I'll say that you're like me because I'm older than you are by a couple of years. So I'll say that, even though you are world famous. But I think that you're the most honest man that I've ever seen. I kind of put you in a category like Steve or Tarzan. Boy, you just got an awful huge pair. Probably not a whole lot of common sense for doing it, but I'm damn glad you're there, Bill. I really am.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And so I'm going to send this unusual stuff, and I'm going to send the damn thing overnight to whatever, and I'm going to make her seal it and stamp it and whatever. Did you like the town talk?
Yes.
Could you, you know, I could have told you over the phone such and such and so and so. You'd never have believed it. But I'll tell you what, it never ceases to amaze me what people will do. See, I'm in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got to show me. This is show me. See, I'm from Massachusetts, the police state. You see it. So I've got a lot of experience with police states. But Missouri, as you can see, is most unusual. So I really, I'm glad to have been able to talk to you again. And like I said, I'll send you this material, and I know you'll make good use of it. And I wish you the very, very best, Bill. And,
thank you very much.
You know, illegitimate non coverandum. I'm sure you understand.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You have a good night, Bill.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, thank you.
Yes. This second time I've heard your program, and I just got into shortwave radio, and about a week or so ago, bought a little handheld job, and it's very frustrating trying to pick things up. I'm probably going to get into a bigger set and an external antenna and all that like that.
Yeah, well, let me give you a little shortcut.
Sure.
You can have a $10 radio or a $10,000 radio. The difference... the thing that makes all the difference in what you hear is your antenna.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So before you go out and spend a whole bunch of money
on
radios, try experimenting with antennas that are not going to cost you that much and see if that doesn't solve your problem.
Yeah. I'm in Ohio, and we have a there's a company, I think they're out of Milwaukee, and they have a branch up near Cleveland. And they advertise that they have trade-ins and rebuilds and stuff like that. I was at a ham radio show a couple weeks ago, and, gee, you can get really serious money in some of those things.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, even used. But the way I found out about you and your program was, of all things, on the Internet. Yesterday, I guess, I was cruising around here and there and found your... location on there, the Harvest Trust location, and downloaded quite a lot of stuff, and I've been cranking through it, and it's going to take me a few days to get through it, but it's very, very interesting what you have done, and I think the one thing that you you had listed in there that was the public notice that Dan Meter
yes.
did, right, and I you know, that's a little scary because he just got out of the Louisville or somewhere.
Well, it wasn't for anything like that.
He was
in prison because he wrote a letter to the foreman of a grand jury trying to get them to look at some evidence before they indicted somebody that they shouldn't have indicted. And the prosecutor would not allow the grand jury to see that evidence. Not only that, but he charged Dan Metter with jury tampering, and that's why he went to jail.
Oh, okay. I really, really wasn't sure, and I know they find all sorts of things to grab guys like that for.
Oh yeah, and as a last resort,
Larry, I mean, there's a fellow named Larry Maxwell that's out of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And he had some family. Family Advocates, I think it was,
yeah.
And he was one of the people that was pushing this federal appeals on a Privacy Act appeal into Washington federal court,
uh-huh.
And they went back and they found some stuff that he had helped some people do several years ago, and they nailed him real quick, and now he's in the system and undergoing what they refer to as diesel therapy, I believe.
Yeah.
He's going from place to place to place. So, anyway, but like I said, I'm digesting the material, and I listened to you last night, and the only thing that I would... of course, now that I know where you are, it doesn't make any difference to me. But if someone else is looking for you, I listen to
the entire conversation
you had with the lady investigator, I guess, Diana. Yeah,
they know exactly where I'm at.
Huh?
They know exactly where I'm at. I'm not hiding from anybody.
On the radio, tell what your station is or who you are every once in a while, because like I said, now that I know where to get you on the radio dial, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. But if anybody else is looking, you can say, this is Bill Cooper or something like that.
Uh-huh.
One comment that I would like to make, and I was really especially impressed by your take on the Y2K deal. Like, it's really... people are making a huge deal out of it, much more than it should be made. And what's going to be made are by a lot of the people that are trumpeting the gloom and doom is money.
That's right.
They're selling things. They're selling storage food. They're selling, trying to get you to buy gold and stuff like mm-hmm. this. And every time I hear somebody telling you to buy gold coins or silver or bulk or whatever, I think back to... the time, I think it was whenever the gold and silver market went nuts in 1980 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Gold was up around $800 an ounce, silver was $50 an ounce, and all this stuff. But I knew a guy that ran a little filling station here in the town where I am, and people would come charging in, and they'd say, "Hey, Don, got a silver dollar. How much gas can I get?" They said, "Dollar's worth." And he said, "No, man, this is a silver dollar, a real silver dollar. This is worth a lot of money." He says, "No, it says it's worth $1. You can have a dollar's worth of gas." And he wouldn't give them any premium for it.
Uh-huh.
Now, the people who expect to walk up to somebody with a gold coin or a silver dollar or a one-ounce silver round or something like that and say, "Look, I need, two steaks and 10 loaves of bread for this dollar." And they say, "No, you get a dollar's worth. You get 3/4 of a loaf of bread for that. Never mind your current whatever it is." And I think people are, if it does come to that, people are going to be sorely disappointed.
Well,
because the people who have the stuff are not going to give you $12 worth of goods for it.
Well, I disagree with you on that.
Oh, really?
When the hits the fan,
mm-hmm.
nobody is going to take Federal Reserve notes. Paper is going to be worth nothing. The only thing that's going to be worth anything is something that has intrinsic value within itself, and people will determine in their transactions what that value is. And they will determine a value for gold and silver coin, and they will determine a value for coffee and Tampax and toothpaste and all these things that people are going to need and won't be able to get. And those will be used as money.
Well, but there's not going to be that much in the way of gold and silver coins out there.
Well, I think there will be. A lot of people who understand what's going on and understand that Federal Reserve notes, that anything paper isn't going to be worth wiping your rear end on, is at least purchasing some gold and some silver coins and other things of value that they can use as barter.
You'd probably be better off with trade goods if you can do it, whiskey or whatever.
Well, whatever it turns out to be valuable, but in the
I don't
I think anybody that goes to
Here's why I say this. I'm a big student of history. Mm-hmm. And I've studied history all the way back as far as the written language goes. And in every catastrophe that has ever happened in the history of the world, the only thing that people universally, worldwide, have ever recognized as money is gold and silver coin. And when great catastrophes happen, such as the runaway inflation in the Weimar Republic, post-World War I, people who had gold and silver coins survived that. People who had Deutschmarks didn't. And But anyway, we're out of time. You can call on another night, but we are out of time right now, and we got
to. Pleasure talking to you. I'll be listening again.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Good night. Well, folks, that's it. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind you, something's not right.
Throw out your arms.
Come on from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, think of the fact.
United decides. Serve your taxes. If you don't own, the federal mission you want to hold. That's the best that I can do when you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar, right? Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't make this! You're surrounded by the UN in white and gray, the ATF, the men in black, and the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation, inciting riots, is crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away.
Atmospheric, social illusion, media hype, plan confusion, Masonic religion, it's a liar. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.